Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael. Kane's Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today's guest is former Giants reliever Tim Worrell in part one of our two-part conversation. And Tim Worrell joins us here on thesportsvirus.com on Inside China Basin, the Giants podcast. And Tim, you had such a successful career. You're around for 14 years, several playoff teams. When you think back on it now, what do you think were the main ingredients to making you successful?
Well, if you're take the career as a whole, about midway through, the first half of it wasn't quite going the way you just described. I mean, the second half of that career, worked out great in San Fran, and then, you know, Philly and some different teams that always had a shot to win. At the beginning of my career, though, I got hurt right away, if I had to put say one thing, about midway through the career, I finally kind of started figuring out how to compete and what was important, what wasn't, what to put my time in on, what not to. And so some things got a little bit clearer, which in return made them a little easier. I don't mean easy like it just went my way all the time. It didn't do that at all. But just really learning how to compete and having fun doing it, regardless of the outcome, would be the thing that I think got me to 38. And being a part of the successful Pens in San Fran and then on to Philly, feeding off the other guys feeding off of, you know, you. And it was the last 7 years were really fun. The first six were not so fun.
Well, but during those first 6 years, or, you know, the early part of your career in San Diego, you were playing for Bruce Bochy. So what can you say about him as a manager? He's been doing such a great job, obviously, with the Giants. What do you think you learned from him?
Oh, you know, not only did I have him at the big league level, but I had him 2 years through. I was in the minor leagues for 2.5 years, and I had Bochy two of those years.
Oh, okay.
So, and you know what? I'll bet you even more so. I mean, he did this as a young manager too, but, you know, as you age, you learn. And I'm sure now I would love to play for him at this point, because, you know, he was just level-headed, understood. He's a guy, baseball career-wise, you know, I don't want to say he had a rough go of it, but, I mean, he gets the struggle of the game. It's a tough game. I mean, it's all about failure, and it's all about just keep plugging. And, he's that player's manager. I mean, he's not afraid to tear you a new one if he needs to. But at the same time, most of the time what guys need is a pat on the butt. And Bruce understands that. And he gets it. And he knows how to enable his players. And that's really, to me, that's what a manager does. You know, I mean, that's what made Bake so well, made Bake so good. And Boach is the same kind of guy. He just enables his guys, and that's guys relax. That's when they play their best.
Plus, he's a former catcher, so he must understand the mindset of pitchers, I would think.
Yeah, no, having worked with, and you're going to get all kind of different personalities there. But, being those catchers, man, they can help you turn an outing by keeping you pumped up, body language. I mean, subtle things that people don't see. I mean, I've had catchers before that, you know, you're not going so well and you're having trouble getting it done, and you can see in their body language that they're kind of PO'd at you, you know?
Right.
But that affects you. But then you can have other guys that are like, you know, hey, fastball in, and they give you the little fist pump, like, let's go, you can do that, you know? And it just, they can play a big role in that. And it's hard to, it seemed like the guys that were the best at that weren't the guys that were the best with the stick, and maybe it's because they figured out how to not take their at-bats out there. But the guys that, I had catchers both ways, but yeah, that would definitely give Boach an advantage there. Plus catching and knowing the game. The catcher, he's running that game from the field. So that probably plays into Boach's style of how he manages and how he does it, because he does a good job.
We'll have more with former Giants reliever Tim Worrell right after this. Inside China Basin is sponsored by Angel Borelli, a nationally known expert on pitching mechanics from right here in the Bay Area. She works with some of the best pitchers in the Bay Area, troubleshooting and solving their performance issues. Listen to Angel Borelli's weekly podcast, The Fix, which discusses issues and solutions for pitchers from a sports science perspective, and get a weekly tip on pitching at Angel Borelli Pitching on Facebook. Check out our website, jimscience.com, where you can order her books and other publications. Contact Angel Borelli today. There's so much thinking going on. You know, that's what I love about baseball. I'll never forget. You know, I'm pretty good at remembering when I've talked to somebody, and it was a long time ago now. It was about 20 years ago that I interviewed you. I was in Rancho Cucamonga doing play-by-play for the Quakes, the Padres affiliate, and you were on a rehab assignment. And I'll never forget you telling me how difficult the rehab assignment can be, even an A-ball for a guy who's been in the big leagues, because you can't set up hitters. You know, tell us about that, because, I mean, how different that is in the major leagues as opposed to, you know, going on that rehab assignment.
Yeah, no major leaguer wants to go, especially at the lower levels, and you have to start there. But nobody wants to do it, because it's such a no-win situation. I mean, you know, if you punched everybody out, you're supposed to, you're a big leaguer. But that's not going to happen, and so guys are going to get hits. And usually the best way to describe it is those hitters, I mean, they can hit the ball or they wouldn't be playing professional baseball.
Right.
But they don't have a plan of what they're doing. It's more just see ball, hit ball. And so, you know, a lot of times, I actually did this one time when I was in Oakland, and it didn't prepare me for my next outing in the big leagues, but it did. I pitched two innings, and punched 5 out of 6 guys out. But you know what I did? I threw first pitch slider in the dirt, and they all swung at it. And then I threw fastball away. And if I didn't stick it, it was just a little bit off. And either way, the umpire gave it to me, because you're a big leaguer and he's an A. You know what I'm saying?
So right.
I'm 0-2, which for an A-ball kid that at-bat and a big league pitcher, that at-bat's over. But here was the problem. What I did to get 0-2 would have made me 2-0 the next night when I was in the big leagues. Because
right.
That big league hitter's not swinging first pitch slider in the dirt. And he's looking early in the count for a ball he can do damage with, not just hit and put into play, but do damage with. And so it's just a different, you know, on that rehab assignment, that one you're talking about, I remember you get beat up in A-ball because, you know, you throw a first pitch fastball to try to grab some plate and get ahead in the count, and that's the pitch the kids hit. And whether they hit it hard or flare it or whatever, it doesn't matter. But I remember going from there to AAA, and I threw the first pitch, and it was, like, right down the middle of the plate. You know, I wasn't trying to put it there. But I remember, like, flinching, like, oh, my gosh, this is going to hurt. like I'm going to get hit.
Right.
And it was the leadoff batter, and he took it. And I was like, oh, finally. So, you know, AA, AAA, these hitters start refining their plans. And that leadoff guy knew, especially first pitch of the game, I'm not swinging first pitch of the game. You know, the idea is to see some pitches, make the guy work a little. You know, there's more of he's not just playing for that one particular at bat. He's playing for 9 innings. And there's he's just got a better plan, a better idea of what he wants to accomplish. And so, and plus he wants some info so he can, for not just for the rest of his at-bats, but that he can go relay to the rest of the hitters, you know, on what
exactly.
Stuff like that day. So it just, yeah, those rehab assignments, well, are no fun, I can tell you that. No big leaguer wants to go to A-ball, because I remember watching this one time when I was in A-ball. Burt Blyleven came up from the Angels, and we tore him up for 5 innings. I mean, just, we were killing him.
Wow.
And, you know, all of our hitters are bragging about, you know, the big leaguer and this and that. And you know what? 5 days later, I think they played the Angels played the Yankees. I believe that was the scenario. And he threw like 7 shutout innings or gave up 1 run, you know. So, but he was doing what he needed to do to get ready for a big league game that allowed A-ball kids to get their hits, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, you were pitching almost the wrong way to get ready to try to be successful at the A-ball level, which is, you know, kind of not the right way to go about it, I guess.
Yeah, no, you don't want to. Yeah, you just there's too much. Like, you know, like I said, everyone was amazed when I walked in the Oakland locker room. They were all, you know, like the pitchers were bowing down because I punched out the 5 out of 6. And I told T.J. Matthews was next to me locker, and I go, man, I go, what I did last night in that A-ball game ain't gonna work out here.
No.
He's like, huh? And then I told him what I did. I said, I threw first pitch slider in the dirt, and they all swung at it like it was a fastball. I mean, they weren't even close to it. It wasn't like they tracked it and, you know, swung low. They swung because they thought I was going to just throw a heater right in there for them.
More with Tim Worrell after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire. 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Now, fast forward to when I was doing my Sirius XM radio show, and I talked to you after you'd already had the 38 save season with the Giants in 2003, and you said something interesting, again, I'll never forget, about the hitter having the pressure. Because I think all along, a lot of people in baseball, myself included, are thinking, man, that closer's got to be sweating out there. You know, he's got all kinds of pressure, even though he has a one-run or a two-run lead. Maybe I don't think that with 3 runs as the lead, but I still think there's so much pressure on this guy. But you said it was the opposite way, or maybe you wanted to think that way. Tell me about that philosophy.
Yeah, just, you know what? If I would have got that opportunity earlier in my career, it wouldn't have gone well. I mean, that's part of what, when I said kind of midway through my career, some things started, I don't know if you want to say the light went on or whatever, but I just kind of stopped taking. I only have 3 pitches. I got a fastball, slider, and a changeup. And most of the time, most guys, whether it's the hitter or the pitcher, you know, no one wants to fail. And so you're actually trying too hard to control something you can't control.
Right.
And so, you know, I did. I looked at that whole year, and that's what helped me. I mean, I learned that, you know, when I came to San Fran, I was pitching that 6th and 7th. And then in 02, I set up for Rob. And then in 03, because of his injury, I got the opportunity. I got the opportunity because of more probably of my age and how I went about my business than what I featured.
Right,
because
experience.
That bullpen was, Joe Nathan was in that pen. Everybody in that pen threw harder than I did. I mean, it was, it definitely wasn't stuff. I'll say that for a fact. But, you know, the thing, if I can stand out there, and the pressure, I mean, if you think about it, the pressure's really not on me. Even a hitter that hits you well still is only hitting you, what, 3 out of 10, maybe 4?
Right.
That hits you well. Well, what about those 6 other times that you get him out? I mean, you know, it's we've changed these numbers to where, oh, this guy hits 350 off you. That still means he stinks the majority of the time. But if I let that 350 start to get me nervous or do whatever, and I try to start making these pitches, you know, pitch perfect. You know, I tried that for years, and I was terrible at trying to pitch perfect. You need to throw an aggressive pitch is what you need to do. And that's what I started figuring out was, man, when I deliver aggressive pitches, yes, I'm trying to put it in a certain spot, and I am trying to throw this pitch as perfect as I can, but I'm not going to. And so, but if I keep the ball aggressive, that's how you get away with your mistakes, because aggressively throwing balls, they cut and sink and they do all kinds of things that you can't force.
Right.
And that's how you get away with your mistakes. So it's almost like you kind of relax a bit, give yourself the freedom to fail. And, you know, the other part of that is it takes a lot of hitters for them to do some damage, like a crooked number on the board, you know, a 2, 3, or 4. They got to have a lot of guys do a lot of things really well.
Right.
What are the odds of that? Now, as a younger kid, here's where I played into it as a younger kid that didn't know how to compete, was as soon as that runner got on, not only was I divided, my attention wasn't just divided with the fact that he could steal second. It was divided with, like, I can't let him score. And so now I'm putting more pressure on myself and trying harder with the guy at the plate. And so what ends up happening is I play into their what they're trying to do. I'm actually helping them do it.
Exactly.
And instead of like, you know what, the name of the game is, I don't care if there's bases loaded. They haven't crossed the plate yet. And when that kind of clicks, and it, like I said, it took me a long time. It actually took me wanting to quit playing. When I got released from Baltimore, I wanted to quit. And it took me wanting to quit. And then the Cubs called, and I went. And then that's how you guys ended up getting. San Fran got me through that trade with Bill Mueller. And which, by the way, that was just a salary dump on the Giants' part. I mean, they didn't know what they were getting. I didn't know what I could do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Weirdly.
It is interesting.
On how it all fell together. But, that's when it started to like, man, I'm putting way too much pressure on myself. And I'm dealing sometimes with a pressure out there that should not be dealt with in a game. This is not a life changing experience, and I'm at times, and it's not just me. Everybody deals with it. All those players. Most of the time, when a big league guy is struggling, it's because he's trying too hard. It's not because he's wanting to go out there and stink. And so I just started relaxing, and when I started relaxing, my ball started cutting. Everyone thought I threw a cut fastball, and I didn't. My four-seam fastball, when I relaxed, finally started cutting. So it was amazing. I mean, all of 2000, I was the most amazed person. I mean, I had people say things to me, but I was out on the mound going, what the heck is going on? I mean, this is unbelievable. I didn't even want to be out here, and I didn't. And now I'm finding success. And so that off season is when I sat down and went, what happened? What happened? Because this is, I mean, you were ready to hang the cleats up and be done. And I went from being released in May of 2000 to the end of the year, I signed a 3-year deal with the Cubs.
That's amazing. I mean, it was a big year for you. And then,
right. But it was the click of like, and the conclusion I came to, and I can say it now because I've been removed from the game for so long, but the conclusion I came to was I stopped caring in the good way. You know what I'm saying by that? I'm just competing to get the guy out, and the rest of the stuff, whatever, it'll work itself out. And that's when the light clicked. And then San Fran, when I got there, having Rags and Bake, both those guys had the same demeanor, same approach, and that just helped fuel what I was already starting to figure out, but then they helped me get over the hump. Because, you know what, Rags, I don't think Rigetti ever came to me like the next day and was like, hey, dude, why'd you throw that guy a slider? But I've had coaches do that. And then now you're out on the mound going, God, I really want to throw a slider here, but we talked about in the meeting that we don't do this, and then I'm going to be held accountable. And it's like, so now you're a nervous wreck out there, or you're not going to throw it when that's the pitch to throw.
We'll talk about what happened in the 2002 World Series with Tim Worrell Friday for part two. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.